Play fake to Matt Forte. Dancing around, coming open, inside the five. Beautiful throw, catch, touchdown. Touchdown Bears to Brandon Marshall. Oh, is that a beautiful throw by Jay Cutler, right on the money to Brandon Marshall. 32-yard strike, and the Bears have jumped in front.
The only problem with that, it was like 2 months ago, October 10th. We hope that happens again. Mike North, Mike Carbett, Joe Pinacchio. Joey was just bringing up a great point, Mike, before we get to Todd Furman.
That it was on break.
Always.
I'm the best break talker you'll ever hear.
Nobody
Come on.
Better, and you want to know something, but he did bring it up. Can you imagine Matt Forte on New England? With the catches, the 50-some catches every year, 60 catches.
Average 80 catches.
Can you imagine Brady having Matt Forte at his disposal? I mean, seriously, a running back like that, they get rid of everybody that's good for him.
They got the guy. He was hurt most of the year. Shane Vereen, I believe, is that guy going forward. So they have it now. But, yeah, Matt Forte over the last couple of years.
The Danny Woodpecker guy. I mean, that guy's unbelievable. That Danny Woodpecker, they got hurt because he didn't get the job done. Here's a guy that he beats up on the wood, speaking of woodpeckers. Sometimes they give him too much wood, and he says, I'll take it. I'll take the value. He is our buddy, our pal, Todd Furman, DonBest.com, Todd'sTake.com. It's Todd Furman here at the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. What's up, Todd?
That was one hell of an introduction, Mike, and I'm not quite sure how to take it one way or another, boys.
You know what they say. How many times you said, boy, that's they're getting 11? That's a lot of wood. That's a lot of wood. You know what? We're seeing a lot of home dogs today. We saw the public win last week. Vegas basically wants to forget about last week for the most part. There was a couple saving games, like the San Diego game at the end of the week. But it seemed to me Sunday, from my stats and from people I talked to, it wasn't a pretty day for the casinos last week. They're allowed to have a losing maybe week or two, not much more than that.
No, exactly. It was not a good weekend. You look at the way the Sunday night game, everybody and their brother piling on the Saints in prime time, knowing Sean Payton's track record. And clearly it was a week that books would like to forget. This weekend, as we see so regularly late in the season, rooting for all these so-called bad teams. But we have seen some pretty big moves. Indy from 6, 6.5, all the way down to 4. We've seen some money come in on Tampa throughout the course of the week. So the professionals in stark opposition to the casual gambler. It should be fascinating to see how this card unfolds.
Find him on Twitter at Todd Furman. Todd, one of the games we're watching in another big line move, one of the headlines of the week, the Washington Redskins and the circus has come to town and Kirk Cousins under center. A line moves 2.5 points towards Atlanta. Are they just inviting you to bet the Redskins?
Well, this number got as high as 7, and then there was some resistance there. I think people lying in wait trying to figure out how to handicap this Redskins team. Interesting to note, guys, that this game was played last week, and you're looking at Atlanta, 3.5-point favorite, but Washington gets absolutely embarrassed by Kansas City. It's a prime buy-low opportunity, but the $100 million question, is it a lame duck coach? Is it a lame duck team? Real tough to try and get excited about backing the Redskins. At the same time, what I've seen out of Atlanta, they don't deserve to be a 6-point favorite against anybody, and that would include just about every team in the NFL these days.
How are your peeps talking about the NFC Offensive Player of the Year or of the Week, Josh McCown being sat, and how does this sit? The Bears started out as 1-point dogs. They're all the way to right now -1. So Jay Cutler, apparently people forgot to read his resume on late year games and playoff implications. But it seems to me that they're favoring Jay Cutler here. A lot of the public backing him in this situation. But Cleveland's defense is going to be a toughie for a guy coming off the scrap heap after 4 weeks.
As you guys know, the public loves this mentality about a team must win now, and the fact that the Bears go to Jay Cutler leaves the public brimming with confidence, but the pros out there lying in the weeds, waiting for this number to keep climbing. We've already seen some money come in on the total under. It opened at 44, down to 42.5. Real tough to bet Bears games under, but current form says they're playing a lot better on that side of the ball, and if you figure Cutler has a little bit of rust, it's going to be tough for this game to go over the total. Obviously, the Bears will have to slow down the dynamic duo of Jason Campbell to Josh Gordon. Fortunately for the Bears, though, Cleveland doesn't do a whole lot on the ground, and that's really been Chicago's Achilles heel most of the season.
Look at that. He said Jason Campbell is part of a dynamic duo. Mark the tape! Mark the tape. Look, we talk about the books getting hammered last week. They had to be pretty happy on Thursday night.
Yeah, the game worked out well. There was actually some sharp money that came in on the Chargers. That number went from 10.5 down to 9.5. But the general public, when you talk about money line parlays and some of the other exotic wagers, teasers, trying to tie everything into the weekend. The one interesting part about Thursday night games is because it's a standalone situation, and more often than not, the player uses that game to tie it into games coming up. It doesn't work out nearly as well for the house as it does getting a Sunday night decision like rooting for Pittsburgh tonight. And then tomorrow, a real fascinating game. The public seems to think Baltimore catching too many points. Don't be surprised, though, if the professionals come in on the favorite, pushing that number from 6 all the way out to 7.
Yeah, there's no question. That's what I've looked at all week. I saw that line. It made me raise my eyebrow. Baltimore getting 6. It's too easy to jump on. Plus the insult thrown at Calvin Johnson. This could be one of those, let's throw everything to Calvin. It could be a Peyton Manning game. 59, attempts by Peyton Manning to shut everybody up at least for a week. Calvin Johnson. I like Detroit in that game, Todd. I'm leaning that way. To me, the way they've been talking about Baltimore, once again, way too much wood.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's Detroit or nothing in the Monday Nighter. The reality of it is this Ravens team can't run the football against most defensive fronts. They'll be able to do even less against the Lions. And the Lions are pinning their ears back and go after Joe Flacco. The hard part when you back Detroit is when are they going to take that stupid penalty? When will they turn the ball over in crunch time? Always a delicate balance to lay points, but really believe this is the spot on prime time that you can look to lay the lumber, and the Lions will win that game by double digits.
Toddstake.com, Fox Sports 1, Twitter at Todd Furman and Don Best Advantage. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles on their march towards the division title, traveling to Minnesota. No Adrian Peterson, likely no Toby Gerhardt. How much does that move this line ahead of the game time?
Now, this number has moved quite a bit throughout the course of the week. It opened 3.5, 4. Number has surged as high as 6.5. Don't be surprised if you see some of the more recreational betting shops out there move this price to 7. That's a combination of money from the professionals and the public on this particular game. But also keep in mind, the pros moved on this game at 5.5. They're not the ones laying 6, 6.5. You're going up against an Eagles team playing with a ton of confidence on a fast track in the dome. I love to typically make a case for home underdogs. I won't be able to do it here with Minnesota. Just not sure how they'll move the football. I think the Eagles go up there, win this one easily, and really put Dallas in a precarious position as far as the NFC East is concerned.
There's always trap games. I look at New Orleans going to a dome, and I know that St. Louis, because they've had injuries and they got rid of Steven Jackson and they lost Bradford, but they still have a pretty competent defense. I'm thinking maybe a little stubbornness today coming from the Rams at home, even though they are one of the many home dogs today.
This will be a game on my radar. It's 6.5. It's not a play, but you can bet your bottom dollar if it does get to 7 as we approach kickoff in the late afternoon time spot that the Rams will move into that window. Jeff Fisher has thrived as a home underdog. Clearly, this will be St. Louis's Super Bowl. They're not going to the postseason. And New Orleans, even in the dome on the road, this team not quite the same offensive juggernaut. Don't be surprised if the Saints struggle with this Rams team who can put pressure on the quarterback. It'll, of course, all hinge on Drew Brees. Kellen Clemens won't want to play from behind, and it's incumbent that the Rams establish a ground game and are able to keep that high-powered Saints offense on the sidelines, at least for long stretches.
Lastly, the Miami Dolphins, left for dead many weeks ago, still very much alive in the playoff hunt, hosting the New England Patriots. New England, basically this game's a pick 'em. What are we looking at, a 1-2 point line? Is Ryan Tannehill ready to lead them over Bill Belichick in Week 15?
Yeah, this is one of the biggest moves of the entire week. New England, a 2.5, 3-point favorite, depending on where you look coming in. Now you're seeing Miami, a 1.5, 2-point favorite in most shops. The Patriots, really a lack of deep threat for this particular offense. No Tompkins, no Dobson. They'll have a ton of underneath guys, but Miami's going to have to get up there, get in these receivers' faces, put pressure on Tom Brady. He only threw for 100 yards at home, a game New England had a battle back down 17-3 at the half. Patriots have been flirting with disaster, needing double-digit comebacks in 3 straight weeks. I'm on board with this move, but what we say, every now and again, even if you still like Miami at -2, knowing you could have taken +3, very difficult to try and get on board now after all the professionals that come and bet the Dolphins.
You hear him all the time, boy. He does a great, great job with us every single week, from Todd Furman, DonBest.com, ToddStake.com. What's that Twitter handle again, my friend?
You can find me just at Todd Furman. I know we try and cover every NFL game on Sunday mornings, guys. But there's always one or two that slips through the crack. So if folks have questions, they can hit me up there. More than happy to talk about the line movement, where these numbers are going, and when it's time to make that move.
All right, Todd. Take care of yourself, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Best of luck this weekend, guys.
All right. And that's exactly what we'll talk about coming back. I'll give you my 2-3 games today. There was only one on the radar. And you know what? The last couple weeks, I have been cooling off, because now you got to watch what teams have just given up. The Washington game, to me, I was ashamed that I even picked it last week, but I did. I'm a straight-up guy. But now we'll talk about those games. Mike will give you a couple plums and that he's got going today. Joe will tell you about what's going on at PlaySportsLive.com tonight, right after these.